I welcome you all to the beginning of our discussions about Tawheed. And since you are all aware of the declaration of the Kalimat al-Tawheed, the word of Tawheed, which is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. And since also some of you are so aware of its meaning, maybe more than others, it's very beneficial to start the subject of Tawheed by saying that man should realize the purpose of his creation, first of all. And he can only do that by knowing his creator, knowing about his names and attributes, and then knowing what is required from him on earth. Always man is in need. Always man is in need because man is not perfect. And we all know that the highest need for man is to know how he can protect himself from harm as well as bring about benefits to himself. If he knows about Allah, then he knows whom he should turn to if he is afflicted by calamity, by hardship, for example. And if he knows well about Allah, then he should know that Allah had showed him the way how to protect yourself from harm, and also showed him a way how to protect himself from harm, and at the same time showed him the way to attain his goal on earth. The highest form of harm is the one which would bring complete destruction and eternal destruction to man. Logically, this is the highest form of harm. And the highest form of benefit is that man brings about complete happiness and an endless bliss for himself. And both of these goals cannot be attained without knowledge about his role in life. He can attain the complete protection from complete destruction by looking at how he should live his life in accordance with the way which is shown to him via revelation from his Lord, because he set him for a purpose on earth and showed him the way to gain the complete and endless bliss, and also showed him the way that would lead to the complete destruction and the residency in the fire of hell. May Allah protect us all from it. So it means that man should look therefore and find out what constitutes the true revelation, what constitutes the true constitution by which he should live on earth. And he can only find that completed in the last message that Allah, God, has sent to man. And it is the revelation in the Quran, which is the last book to all mankind, and also the revelation given to Muhammad, peace be upon him, explaining the Quran, explaining how to live this life on earth. And this really what constitutes worship. And this really constitutes the purpose for creation when Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. That I have only created jinn and mankind only for the sole purpose of worshipping me, Allah, alone. Having said that, the person submits to this and he acts to do this worship to Allah and take it seriously. Having cleared this purpose in the Quran, having been explained by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah said in the beginning of this revelation, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know that there is no God to be worshipped except Allah, and seek forgiveness from your sins. From Allah, not somebody else, from anyone else. So he starts by saying no, because to fulfill this worship, he should know about his Creator. He should know, if he wants to protect himself from harm and liberate himself from the need of a created to another created being, then he knows that Allah is the one who can give and take, is the one who could strengthen and could weaken, is the one who can give power and can take it, is the one who gives the soul that makes man a living human being, and he also can take it away. Having known about Allah, which is only the part of the attributes of Allah, then we could turn to Him every time we feel swayed away, or we feel our legs are just getting off the right lane, and we do mistakes, and we turn to Him because we know that, and if we start feeling that this other human will harm us or benefit us, then we realize, if we know about Allah, that this is wrong, and we could only turn to Allah, most glorified and most exalted He is. Allah has set a recognition for this, that the believer who believes in this has to recognize this in his heart as well as on his tongue. And this is what constitutes the word, the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the submission by will to Allah. You know all that La ilaha illallah composed of two parts, a negative part and a confirmation part. A negative part, which says La ilaha, there is no God, meaning worthy of being worshipped. And then comes the confirmation, illallah, except Allah. He is the only, see that there are so many false deities on earth, and people, they say we worship them, but they don't deserve to be worshipped. You see, the only true God that deserves to be worshipped is Allah. All these deities, they don't deserve to be worshipped because they don't have the qualities of God or the qualities of lordship. They don't have it. But all of them are created in one way or another, and all of them are in need. Even the stone they make is in need for the one who builds it. For the stone builder, the idol. So, this is a simple meaning, and this is the right meaning of La ilaha illallah. But many people have, including Muslims, have fell in one way or another into a distortion of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They have understood from it that there is no God creator except Allah. You see? And we have explained that this is a really wrong understanding, because many people, including Christians, Jews, pagans, at the time of Arabia, Mecca, they knew that. They already knew that there is no creator except Allah. But they did not worship Him. They resorted and they had partnership and they had association in their worship to other than Allah. At times of difficulty, we also said that before, at times of difficulty they resorted to Allah alone, knowing that He is the only one who can help them. But at times of ease, they returned to what they had been worshipping before. Nowadays it's even worse in some cases. You see people at times of ease and at times of difficulty resort to other than Allah. See people at times of ease resort to, you know, graves, or they resort to this person or that person, or to this way or another, thinking that these are the ways of salvation. Allah is all merciful and all just. He sent the books and revelations and the messengers to show how we can manifest this La ilaha illallah in our hearts as well as in our lives. That's why He has sent the books before, ended up with the Quran as the last revelation. That's why He has sent messengers before, ending up with Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the last messenger, with one single message: to worship Him alone. This is the essence of the whole religion that was given to Abraham, to Moses, to Jesus, to Muhammad, peace be upon them all. Worship none except Allah. To serve to none except to Allah. To slaughter none to except to Allah. To have your way of living turned only to Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my salah. Say that my salah. Let me interrupt here and try to know about our visitors now. We've got a group of visitors here. Could you introduce yourself, please? What's your name? Your name? Ramarat, Muhammad Martinez. Welcome, Muhammad. And okay, Dr. Muhammad, thank you for coming. Okay, Mr. Brother Harun. And the Health College of Arraq. So all of you are in the health area. And who was a priest before? In one way or another. You were? You were in a Lutheran church before. You were a preacher. Amazing. In the Philippines? Well, we congratulate you and we wish you steadfastness in this faith which is accepted only, which is the only faith accepted to Allah. And I have been just discussing, this is our first meeting with our brothers here, about who deserves to be worshipped alone and who does not deserve to be worshipped and what is the criteria for that. And we began by saying that we all know that our staying on earth has a purpose. It's not, you know, something meaningless. We're being created by Allah for a purpose. And that's that we have to direct our life in accordance of what benefits us, and also direct it so we dissociate ourselves from what harms us. And all of these ways are detailed in the last revelation given to mankind via the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from his Lord Allah. And this is, you know, for the best interest of man, because Allah will also fight. He has no need for the creation. So it's in the best interest of the creation to know about their way of living. And we have been just explaining the last verse we mentioned was قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. How this declaration of acceptance of Allah is a whole way of life, beginning with the belief on the heart and then the manifestation on the limbs and in legislation of laws on earth in order to accomplish the tawheed, the oneness of Allah in our worship. Allah says in this verse, say that my prayer, salat, wa nusuki, my slaughter, wa mahyaya, and my living, wa mamati, and my death, is for Allah, the Lord of the world, Rabbul Alameen. So you know, salati is a worship, slaughtering is a worship, because if you direct your slaughter to other than the one who deserves to be directed to, then you have committed association in your worship. And you have done also, you have proven that you have an ill thought or ill opinion about Allah. Or else why did you turn and you slaughter for that idol or for that statue or for this and that person? Huh? This means in your heart there is a kind of doubt. In your heart there is an ill opinion about your Lord. Or else if you had a good opinion about him, knowing him well, that's why he said, فَعْلَمْ, know that there is no God to be worshipped except Allah. فَعْلَمْ, know. The first thing to know about Allah, so that you worship him properly. Because when he wants you to fulfill the objective of your presence on earth, then he also, being all just and merciful, had told you about himself, that he is all suffice, he is all mighty, he is all powerful, he can take you anytime he wishes. And you know, one person reminded me, so that man could put himself in the right order. He said, man came out from two places where urine comes out. understood that? Two places, which are the two private parts of the male and the female, where urine comes out. Right? So man should not feel arrogant. You see? Write that down. Man should not feel arrogant. And he should not turn away from the one who had created him, and for you, man, for your own interest, you turn to him. But he doesn't need it. And we also hinted towards one aspect, which is anyone who has common sense looks for safeguarding his end and safeguarding himself from endless destruction and works to gain an endless bliss. And this only could be given by Allah. Safeguarding from an endless destruction and an endless bliss, staying in an endless bliss, is only been given by Allah. So He is the one who owns all this. So the person should realize and return to Him and manifest this declaration of La ilaha illallah, that there is no God to be worthy or worthy of being worshipped except Allah. As I said before you came, it has two parts to it. One negation, one confirmation. La ilaha means there is no God worthy of being worshipped. This is a negation. Then comes the confirmation. Illallah, except Allah. So when you do that, you testify to Allah that you worship Him. At the same time, you drop away any connection to anything which is being worshipped other than Him. You see? So that's why when we talk to our brothers who call others to Islam, that it is not sufficient only to show that person, for example, if he's a Christian, to show him the wrongs that have been committed in terms of Jesus and worshipping Jesus, peace be upon him, and leave him there, you know, hanging in the air. No. Or on a borderline, something like between Christianity and Islam. No. The transformation has to be complete. You accept Allah, the Lord of Jesus, and you drop Jesus as whatever you had felt about Him before. You see? If you had felt about Him, He is Son of God, drop it. Because if you worship Allah, read in the Quran, He says, Allah had taken Him, He had not taken a son. Never. Allah has taken a son for Himself. So how you could say, I want to worship Allah, and Allah is telling you, and telling those Christians who committed, for example, the Trinity concept, and He's telling them in the Quran, don't say ثلاثة, لا تقولوا ثلاثة, don't say three, don't utter three, it's better for you, انتهوا, stop, see, it is better for you, for Allah is only one, for Allah is only one. You see, Allah is telling them, worship me, I am the only true God, right? And drop away this Trinity or these false, you know, concepts that others, whether they are Catholics or Protestant or whichever, have taken about Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Or leave him in a way that say, see, I want to accept Allah, but I still love Jesus. And you tell him, what do you mean by your love to Jesus? You see? You trick him with another question in a nice way. If he says, if he means that I want to follow Jesus, then he did not change. In reality, he did not change. Because love meaning following. There is a concept in love in Christianity which is completely false. You know, the concept of love in Christianity does not mean following. Just love, love, you'll be saved. Love and love, you know, and be saved. Commit sins, commit adultery, commit anything you want, conquer the world, take over any country you want, huh? But still you say you love Jesus, you are saved. No. That's why Allah in the Quran, when some people have said, we love Allah, the challenge came from Allah in chapter 3, in surah 3 in the Quran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you do really love Allah, then follow me, follow Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah will love you. The love concept in Islam is following the commandments and the obedience to Allah and to His Messenger. Not just declaration of it. And you say, okay, I'm a Muslim, there is no God to be worshipped except Allah, and you still have these feelings, or you're still hanging around. No, your transformation has to be complete. Because there is no shyness in. In fact, you should be regretful. Because once you move to Islam, you move completely so that you turn to Allah would be accepted. There is nothing to associate to there except wrong. Although there are certain parts of the Bible that exist nowadays that are true. And how do we know that they are true? Because Allah has spoken about them in the Quran. Anything that came in the final message and existed in the former messages, whether it's the Torah or the Bible, they are true. So if we have an evidence from the Quran that they exist, or from the Prophet saying that they exist, they are true. But even so, we don't take from them no more. Because everything in the before had been abrogated. It's all now in this completed message to all humanity. Because the laws even that were given to the children of Israel in Palestine are different now. The laws given at that time for that particular nation, this particular nation. Now the message is complete for all the nations, for all mankind. These are the completed laws to be followed. The essence of the message is the same. What Jesus brought, what Moses brought, what Abraham brought is the same. All the prophets and messengers came with worship Allah alone, commit no association in His worship, take no partners besides Allah in your worship. Jesus said to the children of Israel, you know, O Israel, the Lord, your Lord and my Lord is one. The translation of the meaning. Your Lord and my Lord is one. Then He said in another verse, in another text, even in the Bible, according to the Bible, that on earth there is no God. On earth there is no God. It's up in heaven. He's up in heaven. There is no God on earth to be worshipped. And when He said, I am a mediator, He considered Himself, I am a mediator. For I am Christ, man, Jesus, Christ, Jesus, the man. Real, concrete texts. These are truthful because they agree with the Quran. Because Allah cannot be contradictory. You see, this is how we know about Allah. Allah cannot be contradictory. He cannot send a message to worship Him alone on earth and then send another person to say to the people, go and turn and worship that other God. How could this be? It is very contradictory. It does not fit the perfectness and the attributes of Allah. All of this is just an introduction to the text that I just gave, and people could. I think I have an extra copy. The people of Brest could take this copy and make copies of it, okay? With you, that would be really good. If you want to make copies of it, you could ask there in the front desk, okay? They could do that for you. So the purpose of our existence on earth is clear. And man cannot protect himself from harm or attain the endless bliss without knowing where it comes, how it comes, who has set it. And this is the beginning of our understanding of there is no God to be worshipped except Allah, to be worshipped except Allah. And remember that every religion on earth that exists now, say we are true. We are the true religion. Every text says we are the true religion. Christians, Jews, Protestants, Luther followers, many say we are the right people, we are the right religion. There's one thing to say to all of them, and that is remember this rule, all the time remember this rule in your mind. The criteria to know what is right and what is wrong is to look at the attributes of whom you are worshipping. This is the only way to know whether you are right or wrong. Who is the object that you set for yourself as your God? Does it have human-like attributes? Does it have a need or not? It will drop down immediately. Buddha is a man. He ate, he walked, he slept. He read, he slept. He is in need. So he is not perfect. How could he be now? Jesus was in the mother of a woman between blood and sin for 9 months. Then he walked the street and ate and slept and used their habit. That. So how could that be done? He needs. And comes there one statement from a Christian and said, you know, but he is divine. Tell him, what do you mean by he is divine? He said, he has God-like attributes. Say, how? They'll tell you he has done a lot of miracles that only a power complete as that of God could do. But tell them that he has said in your book, I of myself can do nothing. Right? I of myself can do nothing. I am a mediator. So, others have been given also miracles. The enemies of Jesus have been given miracles. Right? Every single messenger almost had miracles to assist him in convincing his people that I am a messenger. And these things have been given to me by permission of my Lord. They are not my own power. That's what Allah has said exactly about Jesus in the Quran. By the will of Allah, I bring life to the dead by the will of Allah. Everything I heal by the will of Allah, etc. I of myself can do nothing. So, then they say, well, he has the Spirit of God in him. Say, what do you mean by the Spirit of God in him? They will tell you it is part of God in him. First of all, you tell them then, God, according to you, could disintegrate. He cannot disintegrate. He is a whole unit. A part of him cannot dwell in others. This is a degradation of his attributes. But you misunderstood that. Allah had said that also he breathed unto Adam. Does this mean also that Adam should be a level, on a level with Jesus? Why not according to your own argument? You see? No. But remember this. The breathing of the soul. This soul is a created thing that Allah has created. And it's blown inside you and me and all the children of Adam by an angel. By an angel. And that is the meaning of the soul.
Spirit of Allah. The element of our understanding. Allah, the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. In continuity of the lecture itself, we talk about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most glorified He is, and we talk about the meaning of the declaration of there is no God to be worshipped except Allah and the conditions of this declaration. La ilaha illallah means that there is no God to be worshipped except Allah. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. Many of the religions that you see today, each one of them claims they are the right religion, as we said earlier. But they worship entities that do not fulfill the true attributes of a perfect God. That's why we say here, the only true God worthy of being worshipped, because he deserves to be worshipped because of his complete names and attributes. There is no God except Allah, meaning there is no God who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Allah is one in His Lordship, and He is one in His Godship, meaning He is one and only one true God to be worshipped alone. This is the meaning of one in His Godship. Wahidun fil uluhiyya. Wahid, what? Uluhiyya in His Godship, meaning He is the only God who deserves to be a true God and deserves to be worshipped. He is one in His Lordship, meaning Wahid fil rububiyya. Wahid fil rububiyya. That's the meaning of Rabb, comes from Rabb, Lord. He is also one in his actions and his name and his attributes. No one can be like Allah in any of these classifications. No one is like Allah in his lordship. No one is like Allah in his godship. No one is like Allah in his name, his attributes, and his actions. All these three are unique to him. All these three characteristics, and they are known as the branches of Tawheed. The branches of Tawheed. When someone accepts Allah as the only true God to be worshipped, he negates any form of worship to other than Allah. When I accept Allah to be the only true God to be worshipped alone, he negates and dissociates himself from anything being worshipped other than Allah. This is the meaning of there is no God but Allah. So one of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is not only to say, yes, surely Allah deserves to be worshipped alone. This is not enough. Comes with this is a complete dissociation from anything, from any entity, from any false God that people have taken to worship. You understand? This goes hand in hand. It can't, both parts can't be separated. The phrase, there is no God, the phrase, there is no God, negates all these false entities. Then comes the confirmation, but Allah, meaning only Allah, deserves to be worshipped alone. And then he is his ruler. Allah is all just and all wise. He created man and he wants man to know about himself. He needs to know about Allah. And the only way that man who is born with no ability to know, the only way that this man knows about Allah is by getting this knowledge from Allah himself. No one would know better than Allah about Allah himself. No. So as man grows up, he begins to recognize many things which Allah has created around him. And he is born himself with a natural inclination to accept Allah as his Lord. Part of his mercy, most glorified Allah is, he made himself known. Because when he expects that you turn to him, then he wants you to know about him, so that you turn in the right way. If you turn in the right way, because you're not going to be able to worship Allah in the right way when you don't know about his name and his attributes. When you don't know whom you are worshipping. Or if you have some kind of imagination about who you're worshipping. No. You know about him from him. And all that comes from him is true. This declaration, which requires you to worship him, requires number one, part of the conditions, number one, is knowledge about Allah. Part of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is to know Allah. Ma'rifatullah. And this is the ilm, the knowledge. And that's why it overrides ignorance. Knowledge always overrides ignorance. Those who know are much better and cannot be equated with those who don't know. And you see yourself now sometimes when you know certain things, and you meet people who are ignorant about these things, and you want to try to educate them about it. Sometimes you feel frustrated. Sometimes you do feel frustrated. But you see, you don't know, you say to yourself. Of course, that shouldn't make you arrogant, but at least I gave the example that this knowledge that you gained elevated your brain into a status of enlightenment. To know your way in this life, rather than just going in darkness, touching walls here and there, catching a snake from the right side, or falling into a trap on the left side, or you trying to sense your way in this life. knowledge of whom we are worshipping and about the nature, concept, and the methodology of worship is critical. We say the word worship, and what does it really mean? Worship has a nature, has a concept, and has a method. And no one could come up with a method or a concept or a nature about worship from his own and come to tell people this is what it means. Only Allah, who wants you to worship Him, can define the right way and the concept of worship. Because if it is not for humans to define what is worship and the act of worship and its nature, everyone will come with a certain definition. And everyone would think that his definition is right. Don't be confused. Don't be a mess. Knowledge about there is no God to be worshipped except Allah, as we said earlier, dissociates even our heart, the heart, the actions of the heart, from anything which is being worshipped other than Allah. Meaning the intentions which we have in our heart must be dissociated completely from anything, towards anything. If it is directed towards anything other than Allah, then there is something called the action of the heart. Yes, the heart has an action. And you feel it. Everyone must feel it, right? Feel the action of the heart. The heart works. This action of the heart and the intention behind this action must be directed also to Allah. What is the interest of Allah? Allah says, in the Surah of Muhammad, which is Surah 47, Ayah 19, verse 19, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك. No, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah and seek forgiveness for your sins. As you notice, in the beginning of this verse, in this ayah, Allah starts with the word فَعْلَمْ. It comes in the form of an order, of a command. فَعْلَمْ. And no. So this is a requirement about Allah, it's not about Allah. It's a requirement. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. So this is the first thing. The first condition of the declaration of Tawheed is the knowledge about Allah. And certainly when you know about Allah, you know about His deen, right? Because part of your knowledge about Allah is that He has sent a deen to be taught, a religion, a faith that will be accepted only. Will be accepted by Allah as the true faith and the only faith to be accepted by Him. Comes another thing. After knowledge, after the condition is set to know about Allah and read the Quran, know the Hadith, the new declaration which you have made has to come out without any suspicion about it. Meaning there must be satisfaction. This is the second condition. There must be satisfaction that negates suspicion. Satisfaction that negates suspicion. There should be a declaration without any suspicion regarding the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah 49 in the Quran, Ayah 15, Surah 49, Al-Hujurat, the apartment, Ayah 15, He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَلَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَلَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Only those, look at this, only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and in His Messenger and never since doubted. There is no suspicion, okay? No suspicion about the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Ever since they declare that and they become believers in it, then we should have no suspicion about that Allah is true, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a true slave, worshipper and messenger of Allah. Then the third condition. He touched upon it and looked at it with intention. The condition is purity that we gain shirk. Purity that we gain association, shirk. What is the shirk? Shirk is the opposite of tawheed, association, okay? It's the opposite of tawheed, of the oneness of Allah. If it's to associate something and or someone, something and or someone in the worship of Allah. It can be manifested in several forms, as we will discuss inshallah later. Now, several forms of shirk and how it can be manifested. But regarding the condition, purity that negates association, that negates shirk. This means that the intention must be devoted solely to Allah. What is this in the Quran? The evidence in the Quran is in Surah Al-Zumar, chapter 39, Surah 39, Ayah 11. Surah 11. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِ Say, O Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily I am commanded to worship Allah alone by doing religious deeds sincerely for Allah's sake. Sincerely for Allah's sake. And not to show off my deeds to others. And not to show off my deeds to others. This is the meaning of مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِ. And not to set up rivals, also part of it, and not to set up rivals with Allah in worship. Not to set up rivals with Allah in worship. This is مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. All of my worship, all of its aspects must be pure. Pure for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of the kafir. Not for the sake of the country. You see? Not for the sake of the military. Not for the sake of my father. Not for the sake of my mother. Not for the sake of anyone. Not for the sake of this or that leader. It has to be
So, in all of our actions, all of our deeds, it cannot be done for the sake of anyone except for the sake of Allah. This is the third condition of the declaration of Tawheed, that it must be done solely for the sake of Allah and purely for the sake of Allah, without any association, without any shirk in any of its form. Number four, as-sidq, honesty. Honesty that negates hypocrisy, opposing to hypocrisy. الصدق المنافي للنفاق. Honesty that contradicts and that negates hypocrisy. You don't want to be, and the Muslim must not be like the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who, as Allah says in the Quran, يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قلوبهم. This is in Surah Al-Fatih. Surah Al-Fatih, which is Surah 48, Ayah 11. They say with their tongue what is not in their heart. They say in their tongue, so he could come and say La ilaha illallah, as the munafiqeen at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they said La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but they didn't mean it. There was no honesty behind it. They were just uttering a word, and the heart did not confess to it, did not believe it. So the Muslim should not fool himself. Certainly he cannot fool Allah. Cannot fool Allah. And this honesty paves the way for a meaningful understanding of the kalimat al-tawheed, or the word of tawheed. Why? Because it strengthens the person's drive to know about Allah. If he is honest, he would seek more knowledge about Allah, about his creator. And then the fifth condition is acceptance that negates disdainfulness. Disdainfulness meaning pride and arrogancy and all that stuff. Acceptance, qubool, accept it. I accept it, no problem. The adherence to the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah should take away any pride or envy or imitation to anyone or anything. The truth is the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way that was understood by those who were around Muhammad, peace be upon him. You see, this is important as we discuss the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. Because no one can tell you, I will take the Quran and take the Prophet's teachings and understand them on my way, or according to my way, I'm sorry. No. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the meaning of the Quran and taught his teachings to some around him, to those companions around him. And they understood the right meaning of the Quran and the right meaning of the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they are the ones who we refer to in terms of our understanding of this deen. And at their time, mistakes were much less than at times that come later. You see, in our times, people are far from the times of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were attached very much, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive among them, giving them things right away, revelations right away, explaining this to them, and then telling after that, before he died, recommended that the nation after him, those who will become Muslims later, he recommended and ordered strongly that they follow the path of those who were before. He said, "Alaykum bi sunnati, take my way and the way of the rightly guided rulers after me, al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, the Caliph. Fight on it, halt it, like in Nawazid here, because your teeth, halt it, strongly firm." Then he warned that this nation will divide as the Christians and Jews did divide. But then he put the safeguard, because Allah will not leave the nation go into division without giving them the true path to adhere to. As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this nation will divide into groups, 72 or 3 groups, like Christians and Jews before. But there will be one group which will be saved from the fire of hell. And then when he was asked about that, he defined the characteristics of this group. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِ. The one that I hold to now and held by my companions. By my companions. So anyone who takes, by the way, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the understanding of the teachings, through the understanding of the companion, then he will be amongst those, inshallah, of the saved group. And this is really very, very, very critical, because it defines the way very purely for the Muslims. And the evidence is really clear. At the time of those early companions, Muslims have reached a great deal of strength in faith and in physical ability to rule, and in the spread of Islam. The nation was strong. One of the great scholars of Islam, his name is Imam Malik, had said a famous saying. He said that the latter part of this nation will not become good until it takes by the way which made its early part good. Until it follows the way that was taken by its early part, meaning those companions and those who followed their path. And those who follow their path up to the Day of Judgment, they will be the righteous. Take it on a single level. The person who clears himself from any philosophy, from any ways that are not in accordance with the way of the Quran and the way of the Sunnah as understood by the companions, then he will become a better person. And then he will affect his family. He will affect his friends and those around him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّنْ نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ قُلْ أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَكُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ. Surah Al-Zukhruf, which is Surah 43, Ayah 23 to 25. Listen carefully to this ayah. And similarly, we sent not a warner before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to any people, but the luxurious ones among them said, we found our fathers following your religion, and we indeed follow their footsteps. Invitation, huh? And the warner said, that is, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, even if I brought you better guidance than that which you find your fathers following, they said, verily, we disbelieve in that with which you have been sent. So we took revenge on them to see what was the end of those who denied the truth. Allah is all just. He sent messengers. He sent warners. And He doesn't want people to accept ways of their forefathers that has nothing to do with Islam, with the faith of Allah, putting their forefathers and this imitation as a judge on the better guidance which is coming to them from Allah, and disdain and reject. See? That is against the declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So if you find somebody just a blind imitator of this or that, then you must remind him in a good way, even if it is a gradual way, but just take your course and reminding him that we can't be imitators. We have to follow the guidance. The guidance supersedes and takes over any form of imitation to anyone or to anything except to this guidance.